In this week's episode, I catch up with Simon Finnegan following the end of the season and look ahead to 2022. Hello and welcome to the Widnes Rugby Chat podcast with me, James Gordon. It's episode 53. There's been a bit of a delay between the last couple of episodes. Apologise for that. We'll try and ramp that up over the off-season just to keep people interested and give you something to look out for. In this episode, there'll be a long interview with Simon Finnegan, who I caught up with earlier this week, just to discuss the 2021 season and also look ahead to 2022 and how recruitment is shaping up and also the expectations for the 2022 season. Before we get going, thanks as always to the podcast sponsors, PD Law Solicitors, Arnold Gorse Financial Management, Parklands FC and Whistle. So, Widnes, disappointing campaign, it has to be said, finished 8th in the table in the end and since the end of the season, which finished with 3 straight wins. They've been busy on the recruitment front. At the time of recording this, I've run through the squad. I'm sure everyone listening will have picked up on all this. But so far, new deals have been confirmed or retained. Players are Danny Craven, who signed until 2023. Kenny Baker and Oliver Brooks both signed for 2022. Owen Farnworth and Adam Lawton both committed to 2023. Shane Grady to 2022. Joe Lyons is another who's now committed till the end of 2023. And then Steve Tyre and Matty Smith both committed for the 2022 season. Jack Owens had signed a deal earlier in the season, committing him to 2024. Jake Spedding and Logan Tompkins are both still on contract for 2022. So the full list of retainees is Craven, Baker, Brooks, Farnworth, Grady, Lawton, Lyons, Owens, Tyre, Smith, Spedding and Tompkins. And then so far, in terms of new signings, Widnes have brought in the majority of them on just 1 year deal. Sam Wild came in on a 2 year deal. That was announced at the members Monday event back in August. He has come in from Newcastle. He is on contract for 2 years. But all the other signings so far on 1 year deals. There's 4 from Oldham. Liam Bent, a back rower. Tyler Dupree, a prop. Dec Gregory, a hooker or a halfback. And Ryan Ince, former Widnes, of course. He's returning to the club on the wing. Levian Zongu arrives from Bradford, he's a prop, and Matty Fozard, who's a Widnes lad, he comes in from London Broncos. He will be probably first choice at hooker by the sounds of things, and I have a bit of a chat about him with Finnegan in the interview that's coming up. And then Matty Fleming completes that list, he comes in from Dewsbury, he's an outside back who was formerly at the St Helens Academy. Players who've confirmed their exit, Paul Clough and Matt Cook have, of course, retired. Dion Cross is leaving. He's on his way to Salford, we believe. Jaden Hatton is probably a surprise exit from a surprise departure from Widnes. It was believed that he wanted a full-time deal, and he's going elsewhere for that. I asked Simon Finnegan about him in the interview, which you'll hear shortly. Daniel Hill, the young fullback who played a handful of games for Widnes this season, he has gone to St Helens, and other players out the exit door, Owen Buckley, Josh Wild and Lee Jewett, who only played 20 minutes for Widnes all season, having signed under Tim Sheens this time last year. So, if my records are right, there's just 5 players we're waiting for confirmation. Joe Edge, Lewis Else, Lewis Hume, Lloyd Roby and Will Talik. Will Talik is definitely staying because Simon Finnegan mentioned him in the interview. So we'll go straight into that. I catch up with Simon Finnegan right now just to talk about everything from the season just gone. I hope you enjoy it. Here it is.
The stamp duty holiday is being extended on all properties until the end of June. So if you're thinking of moving house, make sure you instruct your local solicitors, PD Law, for all your conveyancing needs.
So, Simon, first full season in the job. How do you reflect on how it's gone?
It wasn't. It was probably disappointing. I think the overall picture of it, particularly the position we finished, the league position, wasn't good enough, you know, and there's plenty of reasons why and things like that. But, yeah, it was probably disappointment, but yeah, a little bit of frustration in there as well, because I think at times there was we got some things right, and certainly at times we clearly didn't. So, yeah, a little bit of disappointment and frustration, but still enjoyed every minute of it, you know. It's in a strange way, I've loved it.
I guess it probably didn't go anywhere like you thought it would. But do you look back at anything particularly as a positive throughout the year?
Oh, there's many. You know, there's where the club's at in terms of off the field and how it's run is still positive. I think personally, my relationship with off the field with Phil and the board is really good. You know, it's been fantastic from day one, and it still is. So that there's some positives certainly, but there's plenty of little stories as well. You know, the young lads that have been exposed. Not so much young lads as well, players that haven't played so much at this level have been exposed, and even some of the older lads at championship level, what they've been exposed to this year is a positive, because it's only going to benefit us moving forward. You know, we've been through some really difficult times this season in different periods, and no matter if you're a Matty Smith at 34 or, you know, Will Talik, they're still going to learn from it, because the championship's a different place. So you've got to get that experience. And you know, unfortunately, we've probably experienced a lot of bad stuff this year in terms of the rugby side, but that's only going to help us moving forward, because we're taking a lot of the group we've got now with us, so that they will know what awful looks like and they'll know what good looks like. So that's, you know, that's a lesson that we don't have to teach, because they've experienced it, which is important for players.
What was the high point or maybe your favourite point of the season? Is there a moment in the season that stands out to you?
I'm not so. I don't know about favourites. I think the last few weeks, in particular, you know, some players have stood up, and we've had a fair bit of adversity, you know, within the club as well, and things that have happened. But there's other stuff that have gone on as well, you know, and the overall picture that them things have, I've been really pleased with, because at times we have struggled, obviously with injuries and the way the squad was and things like that, but just. Certain individuals have stood up across the board, and that's been really a positive. I couldn't nail one thing, because there's been little moments along the way. You know, the Toulouse game jumps out as well. It wasn't the best day, but some young people in that game really stood up, and that's been the across the board. I mean, Jack Owens is another one. It's really difficult to be captain of this club anyway, and certainly in times where it's been difficult on the field, and I think he's been tremendous throughout the year to do that as well. You know, I get a lot of criticism, and rightly so, but it's also hard for the captain who's on the field and got to go through it. So I thought the way he's handled that has been impressive, you know. So there's plenty of good stories, and a lot of people have developed this year, which is pleasing as well for a coach.
I suppose the last home game, the Bradford game, I guess that was in some ways almost like the perfect way to end the season. You know, you pinch a win at the death, but just the manner of the win sort of lifts everyone up, you know, especially the fans.
Yeah, and that's important, because we haven't given much to cheer about. You know, they weren't with us at the start, but we haven't given... And that, the games like that, the fans love more than anything, don't they? They hate the ones that you lose on the buzzer, and obviously the blowout scores they don't like, but it is nice every now and then to win one right at the end, because it... You know, the theatre of it all is brilliant for them. And I think we haven't given them enough of them. We didn't give them enough wins to make them happy all the time. But, you know, that's a pleasing thing to give them that one at the end. And on the last home game, it helps against Bradford as well. It was just good to set, because it felt like a proper atmosphere. Same as the Swinton game away. I thought the support there was immense, you know. So them two lasting memories of the fans for the season are pleasing.
You know, you mentioned a bit of the criticism and stuff that you've received, you know, throughout the year. I suppose, one, do you take much notice of it? But two, was there ever a point in the year that maybe you considered that you weren't the right man for the job, or that it might not work out for you?
Oh, no, I'm not. I know I get criticised, because that's part of the job. And when you lose, you get criticised. And I'm aware of it, but I don't read it because I'm not on social media and things like that. But I know it's there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not stupid either. If you don't win games, you're going to get criticised, and they're allowed to as well. I'm a fan in other sports, and I criticise and think I know better and things like that. But I'm quite stubborn as well. You know, I know I'm the right person for this job. So I never doubt my ability. I've got wonderful staff around me. And like I said, the board and I and Phil, we get on really well. So, and we have really good, open, honest conversations with each other all the time. So we know where I'm at, where I'm at, where the club's at, you know. So I don't doubt my ability as a coach. It's been a disappointing year, and I take full responsibility for that. I'm the head coach here. I won't shirk away from any of that. It's up to me to get it right. But yeah, it doesn't, some dark days, but I don't wake up on a Monday and think that I'm not the right person for the job. I think I'm the right person to fix it, and I've got to fix it. So, but like I say, I'm not the only one in this picture. I've got a brilliant assistant coach. He's been excellent this year, Ryan. So he suffers as much as I do, you know. It's just, and he's been great for me.
You mentioned Phil, and I had a brief chat about him. He's obviously been in and around the bench quite a bit this season. I don't know whether it started because of the COVID protocol thing, but how do you find that dynamic? Because obviously there's people who think, oh, the CEO should be in the boardroom and stuff, but I know Phil likes to get his hands dirty and stuff, but how do you find that situation where he's almost around you on the bench?
Oh, I'm comfortable with it. He started off doing it because, you know, our kit man, Clarkie, wasn't at a game. So Phil, like most staff do here, you find a different role that isn't your own and you get on with it. And he likes being around the boys as well, which I think it's important, you know, as long as the relationship is good between himself, the players, himself, myself, Ryan and the other staff, then there's no issue with it, you know, because and plus he gets a different view of it. He can see it on a match day and things like that. But I actually appreciate him being there because it's another set of eyes from a different point of view, and he's helping out as well. So it's good. You know, I think it's fantastic. And it probably keeps him involved in this side, which he should be, because we do a lot of stuff off the field together in terms of, you know, how we put the team together and how we plan and all these things. So it's only fair that he should be there on a match day as well. And yeah, I don't have an issue with it. I think it's great.
And of course, you know, you sort of alluded to it there. Phil was heavily involved in the pathway that's brought through so many of the players that have got to the stage, and even the player, you know, like Daniel Hill's obviously moving on, but players like him have come through a system that Phil put in place. And I suppose, you know, I guess the club's got ambition to get back to a stage where it can continue to bring players through. So you need to have everyone you can around you to be able to do that.
Yeah. And again, being in my position as head coach, I'm not got the perfect relationship with everyone. Certain players feel more comfortable talking to Phil. Certain players feel more comfortable talking to my assistant, Ryan. I was the same as a player. There's certain individuals that you'll talk and have a better relationship with. That's just common, you know, knowledge. So, and him being there is that. He's a lot of these players, not so much the younger ones that have come through, but some have been here a long time that he's seen come through and got a really important relationship with. So, you know, and I like that as well. You see him in the change room before games and he'll be sat next to Jack Owens and they'll be having a laugh and things like that, which is fantastic because he's got a bigger relationship with some of these than I have, you know. So it is important. And that's the way this club's what makes it so good as well. You know, it doesn't matter who you are or what role you have, you still got a part to play and it's still important.
Obviously, you took on the job, I can't remember when it was, just before Christmas, was it last year, something like that. And you obviously inherited pretty much the large amount of a team. I think you added Adam Lawton, was probably the only one that came in after you'd arrived. So I guess looking ahead to 2022, it must feel a bit different for you. I don't know whether it's seen as more of a positive that you're able to maybe have an influence in who the individuals in the squad are.
Yeah, but that's the case for pretty much every coach when you take over a team. You're always inheriting the team that's there. And so you just adapt to that. And there's no issue with that. I think the hardest part of this season was the amount of injuries and COVID and things that struck. And that's what's hurt, because we haven't had the right balance of the players on the field enough or the right balance to pick from. So in terms of inheriting the squad, that's not a big thing. But it, myself, Phil and Ryan and how we put this squad together for next season, it has been really refreshing as well. You know, we started doing it very early. We knew how we wanted it to look. We knew the players that we wanted it, you know, to make up that squad. And to be honest, I'm really happy with how it's went. I couldn't, you know, we haven't missed many targets that we've gone for, and we haven't missed, you know, retaining the ones that we wanted to retain as well. So that's been a collective effort from everyone off the field, and that's been pleasing. And obviously it's exciting because it's, yeah, like you say, this pre-season, and this will be a team that myself, Phil and Ryan, all three of us put together. And yeah, that adds a new dimension, but it also adds a little bit more pressure, which is good as well.
Obviously, you've still got a few signings and stuff to announce, but looking at at the recruitment so far. Clearly, the market for props is a difficult one for all clubs. Does that mean that maybe the likes of Kenny Baker and Shane Grady might be employed more in the front row next season, as they have done for quite a bit this season?
Yeah, well, the way, I mean, all the middles now, apart from when we played Matty Smith, there's obviously a ball playing 13, 8 and 10 are the same positions now. They're all middles. So it was an area that we needed to fix and get right, because it hasn't worked out for different reasons this year. And that happens. That's just the way the sport is. So it was an area we need to fix. And we have done that. And we've added a little bit more strike around different areas as well, particularly our back row, and just made it, I think, a more competitive squad across the board, which, again, is important. Some of the lads that have come through this year had no championship experience or very, very little championship experience. So them lads that have had that have got 15, 20 games under their belt. So next year we'll have a squad probably where everyone at least has played at this level. So that's, again, that's a healthy squad to have.
Do you know how many you're hoping to run with squad-wise?
Not at the moment. It'll be probably 27, 28 around that mark, I would say.
And of course, you mentioned one of the players you haven't had any experience, Will Talik. I mean, he played the first game and then ended up playing every single game. I think it was only him and Dion Cross, I think, who played every single game. I mean, I guess you can't imagine when you first met Will that he would have been playing every single game. And how has he taken that on?
Excellent. It's a freakish effort. If Alex Walmsley did it, I'm not comparing the both here, but if he played every single Super League game, they'd be saying it's unreal. For any middle player to play every single game is huge. So, yeah, I probably had him down to play two or three. But his application in pre-season put him in a position to play games, probably a handful at the start of the year, but then circumstance changed. And a lot of the games he made on merit. So, that experience he's got this year, you're talking 2-3 years of experience that he's got in one season. So I would imagine he's still got to come in pre-season and work hard, because he's still a young kid. That's the first and foremost thing he needs to do. But in terms of games experience, he's miles ahead of a lot of young players at his age, because some of the things he's been through this year, like I say, it's 2-3 seasons worth that he's got there. And he'll be a much better player for that next year.
How do you identify more players like him, obviously without the reserves and without the academy in place?
Watching rugby, the amount of games myself, Ryan, our support staff watch it, and what we see and how we play and what we know would add to us is important. Because there's, we've signed some Oldham players and people look at it and go, well, they get relegated. So why are you signing people that got relegated? But there's plenty of good players playing at every team. You just got to look hard enough and you've got to know that they'll fit into your environment and how you want to play. So if we didn't look at players in relegated teams, there'd be no players to look for. There's plenty of good players out there. So there's loads of different ways we want to look and target, and how we play is an important part of that and what we're about as well. So most of our recruitment has been around that. There's always, every player we sign, there's a reason we signed them to fit into our group.
And obviously you brought Lewis Hume in sort of quite late in the season and he had a decent impact. I mean, I don't know what the circumstances is around that, but in hindsight, do you sort of wish you'd brought him in sooner than you did?
Well, the reason we didn't do it sooner is because we had Brad as well. So, at the time, we had no nines, and then Brad become available and he was excellent for us in the, I think it was 7-8 game stint that he had for us. So, and then you're looking around quickly to try and fix it. And at that time you're thinking maybe one or two games he comes back to us, but obviously it didn't work out that way. So then we go back and look, but he's been brilliant since he came in, Lewis. I think he's been fantastic and we're currently trying to keep him at the club. We're talking to him about that. And he was, in terms of where he come from and jumping in a season, the games that he jumped into, we forget that he jumped in. I think we were playing Featherstone, Bradford's, and he didn't jump in against, no disrespect to West Wales and things like that. He jumped into a pretty hectic part of the season. And you could argue that he was probably in our top 5 players in most games. So that's, yeah, in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing. I probably should have went there at the start, but I think that Brad threw us out a little bit because he was so good for us, and you know, we were hoping that we could keep him a bit longer, but it didn't always work that way.
I mean, I guess depending on what happens with Lewis, what are you thinking around nine? You know, do you see Fozard as a nine, or do you see him more as a six or a seven?
No, he's signed as a nine, but you know, what we've learned from previous years and this year's, we need good cover across the board. You know, we can't rely on a Will Talik every year, and you know, pulling people out of amateur. I think what we've certainly learned as a club and myself included is we need to have cover and good cover. You know, that also not just cover, but it puts pressure on players that they have to perform at a certain level to stay in the team. Which, you know, the back end of the year we had that a little bit more. Jake Spedding, I'll use an example, missed out a couple of games because Lloyd Robey come back and played really well, which I don't think we had that luxury all year. So that, you know, that it's not always about providing cover. It's about intensity of training and putting pressure on the people that are there.
And Matty Smith, is the 13? Will he be number 13, do you think, next season? Or do you still think he's going to return to maybe play at scrum half?
Well, we're undecided where that will, how it will look. You know, the beauty of what, you know, that experiment happened this year is we know in certain games now that Matty Smith can play as a 13 and it opens up our attack. Clearly, some games it didn't work, but we didn't have the luxury of changing it around. So what we've certainly got this year, which I'm really pleased about, is the ability of some players to move positions and it not affect our team too much because of the players we've brought in as well. I mean, we've got some other players that haven't been announced that are going to add to that as well. So when they do, you'll start to see the picture that's unfolding.
I suppose there'll be no shying away from tackling for him now when he's playing at scrum half. He can't use that as an excuse anymore because he's proved that he can do it.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's a little bit different when you're three in off an edge and it's a one-on-one where you've got protection of middles around you and they run straight at you, which I'm sure he will now understand as well. Like, yeah, you've got bigger men running at you, but you've also got big bodies around you protecting you. So, yeah, to be fair, he's brilliant. You know, I can't. It was a huge effort what he did this year, and there was a spell just before I took him out of the team where he was playing with a cracked sternum. So, you know, that's and even to the point where he didn't want to miss games, but it felt like a type of punishment putting him out there because he didn't want to miss games. So that's the type of character he is.
Yeah, I think he definitely went late. It was very late in the season that he missed his first game, certainly. I think him and Steve Tyrer, I think, were sort of ever present for a very long time. In the season. I mean, looking at the players that have departed, you know, obviously, I guess, is Jaden Hatton, was that a bit of a surprise that he departed? I presume you would have wanted to have kept him.
Yeah, the conversation we had with Jaden, which was probably 5 or 6 weeks ago, is we sat down with him like we did with everyone in the squad, and he told us that he was looking to get a full-time deal, Super League deal somewhere else. So that was the way the conversation we had. We clearly wanted to keep him, but the way that he told us, he was looking for a full-time deal. So, and fair play to him. I think that's, in my experience, when they've got that in their head that they want to be full-time and in that environment, it's hard to change it. And rightly so, because if you've got ambition, that's what you want to do. So, yeah, we wanted to keep him, but his ambition at the time lay elsewhere. So we can't do much about that.
And I guess that was the same with Daniel Hill. I suppose it's a no-brainer for him if a full, you know, especially if St. Helens come along and offer you a full-time deal. I suppose there's not really much Widnes can do about that.
No, and I think what the club has done, in particular with Hilly, they know that the picture for him is different at a different club full-time. He's a young kid. He needs to be in full-time environment. He clearly is second choice to Jack at the moment, and we don't have the option for him to play games elsewhere. So in terms of it being a difficult decision, it was the right one that the club made and to allow him to, you know, to go and fulfil that in a full-time club, because I think everyone at this club knows he's going to be some player at some point and he needs to be in an environment where he can train full-time and reach that potential.
And I suppose the conversation might go with St. Helens that you might be able to loan him back at some point if you ever needed, or I mean, not just him, but other players, which I guess the loan market will open up a bit more next season because of the COVID relaxation.
Yeah, and that's that's what you hope as a club as well, which I think our history tells us that the club, particularly the youth level at this club, has done the best by their players. So most players that have left the club, younger ones, always say, you know, good things about the way Phil and Ryan and what the club have done for them, because that at the end of the day, they do have their best interests at heart, which is doesn't always help the Widnes Vikings, but it certainly helps the individuals, which is important. And like you say, the loan market should open up a bit better next year. Time will tell.
I mean, how early do you how early do you start getting back for pre-season when you're looking?
When we'll be back in the end of October.
Right. So, you know. And then how soon after that do you start discussion about goals and stuff for next season? I mean, I presume obviously it partly depends on what they're going to do with the restructuring. I guess if they say you've got to finish in the top six to get in to keep in the championship, that's ultimately what you've got to aim for.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, in terms of what we speak to the players and myself included, we know that we've got to make the playoffs next year, regardless of the structure. This club needs to be in the playoffs. Simple as that. So how long we'll know until the structure comes in place is irrelevant to me in a way, because I know anything that we don't make the playoffs, we haven't done a good job, particularly with the way we put the squad together for next year. We need to be in the playoffs.
And just looking at the players or the way you identify players, how do you go back? Like Adet Gregory, for instance, was one that sort of, I know a few signings get rumoured and stuff like that, but he was one who came out a bit of left field, but he certainly had a very good game for Oldham, at Oldham this season. Is that a good way of identifying players that for you, or does it go a bit wider than that?
Oh, that helps. But then, you know, people that are on our radar, they are anyway, you know, so we know we had a pretty clear picture of who we wanted to bring in early on in the season. You know, sometimes it changes by different circumstance and different things like that. But we had a pretty clear picture of who we were trying to bring in very early on, you know. And then, we haven't missed too many that we were going for.
And were you surprised that Paul Clough decided to hang up his boots? Because he seemed to be, the longer the season went on, he seemed to be, making more and more progress, doing more and more minutes. Or did he know that he was on the home stretch sort of thing?
He told me probably 5 or 6 weeks ago, so I had an idea. But yeah, he's got a good, you know, his life off the field's really well, you know, his business and things like that. So it's hard to tell with players, because some want to play forever. Some realise that, you know, another pre-season, another, you know, games on a Sunday is too much for them. It's when they come to that decision, it's different for everyone, you know, because he was still playing well. He could still do a job, but mentally you don't know if he's thinking, I don't want to come back in October. I can't go through all that again. You know, I'd rather get home 5 o'clock every night and sit on the couch. It's everyone's different. But yeah, he looked like he could play on. But yeah, like I'm saying, I don't know what's going through his head when he gets home at night.
Yeah. And so I guess what's the message to the fans ahead of 2022?
It's exciting. You know, it's, and I'm sure when I say it's exciting, people will think back and will, it wasn't so exciting this year, but you look at the players that we've retained who I think are good players. You know, we've got a good squad anyway. And then the players that we brought in, me as a coach, I'm excited about getting them back in the preseason. I look at the names and potentially what we could do. And as a fan, I think the same. I don't think any signing that we've made, you know, I think they're all going to add to the group. So as a fan, I'd be looking at that thinking, well, yeah, you know, the season ended a bit better than it started. There were some positive things and we're going to obviously clearly add to our squad. So, you know, it's looks like they're good times ahead, but, you know, we've got to perform as well, which we will.
So thanks to Simon Finnegan for his time for that interview. Thanks, as always, to our sponsors, PD Law Solicitors, Arnold Gorse Financial Management, Parklands FC and Whistle. We'll try and get back to some sort of regularity over the off-season. Got Danny Craven and Patrick Arvan lined up for podcasts in the coming weeks. Please do leave a review or drop me a comment or anything you want to see, actually. Drop me a tweet at JDG Sport or comment on the forum or on wherever you listen to this podcast, and I'll see what I can do over the season. But from me for now, that's all.